Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
And welcome back, Jay Binkley, producing, my new best friend, Drew Nixon. And in studio with us, if you're going to talk Chiefs, bring on somebody that works for the Chiefs, which I've talked to this guy for years, including a lot during the NFL draft, but we're past that. Matt McMullen.
What's up, Jay?
What's going on, my friend?
It's going great. You know, I was listening on Wednesday, and I'm surprised Drew is still here. I was curious how long he would make it today.
People think we hate each other, which is...
Yeah, there's people who really do.
Well, there's a lot of animosity, though, because he was going the Quick Trip and not asking me. Okay. That happened the first time. Like, he'd go down there to get a drink or something, and he went like, hey, can I get something for somebody else? He didn't do it, which I thought was pretty bush league.
That's tough.
But we've gotten past that.
I asked you today.
And I said, don't worry about it, Drew. I wanted you to the previous couple days, but you didn't do it. But today you went, and regardless, we're best friends now. So that's going to be nice to Drew.
This is how people become friends.
Well, he's a Bengals fan, and there's a little, you know, a little bit of.
I try to look past that. I think Drew's a cool guy, but I try to look past the Bengal fandom.
Except for that.
I will say, more than any other Bengals fan, I can almost guarantee this, in my time living in Kansas City, Matt, I respect the Chiefs and the way that they do things immensely more just from being here and covering the team, of course.
He's a fan now.
The Chiefs can go ahead and win every single game. But when they play the Bengals, they can go ahead and pass on that.
He got to go to a Super Bowl because of the Chiefs.
I did, yes. Yeah. Thank you, Kansas City.
Yes. See, I mean, he's got his Mahomes jersey. His Gardner Minshew jersey, too, by the way.
That's right.
I think when you're in Kansas City, it's impossible not to, like, get immersed in it. My wife is from Denver. Like, she grew up a Broncos fan. We got married in 2021, but she's lived here since 2018.
Did you tell her you worked for the Chiefs first?
So we met when I wasn't working for the Chiefs. She knew I was a Chiefs fan, but I wasn't working for the Chiefs yet, and she was like all into this Broncos thing. And then like it took like maybe 2 years, and the Broncos jersey went in the closet, and now she wears Chiefs jerseys every Sunday.
When did you start working for the Chiefs? Was it 18 or 19?
So I was an intern in 2016 and got hired full-time 2017, but my job's kind of changed over time. So I've been doing like this sort of thing since like 2020.
So you and Mahomes.
Yeah, it's lined up perfectly. Worked out well for me.
So did you get your ring the other day? I saw that they gave the AFC championship rings, which to the Chiefs, some teams, they probably mean a lot. But it was funny when Mahomes said, well, you know, there's some rings you put on top of your safe and some in it, and that's the ones that go on top. I think he was joking, obviously. But, you know, with Kelce, he had the same answer that I respected, that I loved it, that he had after the Buccaneers game. Hey, we expect to win them now. So the consolation prize of rings. What does Matt McMullen do with his AFC championship ring? Because you collect them all.
Yeah, I liked what Patrick said. And I also completely agree with what Travis said.
I mean, you're wearing it now.
I'm not wearing it right now. It's one of those that I'm not going to probably take a picture with it. You know, it does go in the safe.
Probably still get a free beer out of it.
It would be pretty cool for that. But for other reasons, like I think what it represents is it represents that you made it to the Super Bowl. You won 15 regular season games. You beat the Bills in the AFC championship game in a game that, because we lost the Super Bowl,
Mahomes goes 4-0 against Allen in the playoffs that game. Yeah.
It's hard to get there. So while obviously you want a Super Bowl ring, and like Travis said, like at this point, the Chiefs are measured by Super Bowl championships, and that's completely accurate and fair. It still means a lot. Like you look at that ring, you're like, that was a heck of a season. And for me, it feels a lot like 2020, where 2020, what, the Chiefs went 14-2. You again go to the Super Bowl. You win playoff games.
That was a great team too, man.
But you forget about it because it's in the context of these other great years that we've had. So it's not the same as the Super Bowl years, but you still can look at it and be like, that was a heck of a year, even though it didn't end the way we hoped it would.
I mean, they still won it. I mean, that's the thing. And now when people look at it, I think they forget. There's a couple things I think that people forget. I knew it happened, though, because you watched, you know, the NFL Network and ESPN and all that. I knew it happened. Who's the next guy? Who's the next guy? Mahomes isn't even 30. All right, he turns 30 this season. I bring it up all the time. Like, Steve Young actually built – he didn't throw for over 3,000 yards until he's 31.
The quarterbacks peak around like Steve 33, Young 34.
Built his entire Hall of Fame career in his 30s. Mahomes isn't even there yet. So he didn't throw for over 3,000 yards until he's 31. Manning had great years in his 30s. Drew Brees, great years in his 30s. Aaron Rodgers won MVPs in his 30s. Tom Brady went nuts in his 40s. I mean, it happens, so we'll see what happens. But I think it's funny because you're talking about a quarterback that's gone to the AFC title game every year that he's been a starter.
Every year.
Not only that, the one thing I think that people in the national media forget about, that one guy sits on top of postseason wins, and that's easy. That's Tom Brady. That'd be the number one answer.
With 35, I believe.
But if you went around, even in this city, and asked 10 people who's got the second most postseason wins as a quarterback, you're probably going to get a lot of Joe Montana, some Peyton Mannings. You're going to get answers like that. The answer is Patrick Mahomes.
17-4.
He's 17 postseason wins. Keep in mind, this is a team that went 21 years without winning a postseason game. He's got 17. Only Tom Brady stands in front of him. Do you think of the other greats? Joe Montana, 16. Peyton Manning, 14. Steve Young, 14. John Elway, 14. So there's Mahomes three games ahead of them. He's not even 30. I think people forget that.
He also has the second most playoff touchdown passes of all time, I'm pretty sure, behind only Brady. It's crazy, and I think for us, it's so easy to get used to it because this has been years and years of you go to the playoffs, you win these incredible games, you go to the Super Bowl, and you have a chance to win it every single year. We can't normalize it because, I mean, as we know, being in Kansas City for years and years before Patrick arrived, this doesn't happen. I mean, cities go 50 years, they never experience this kind of thing, right? And to have our quarterback be 17-4 in the playoffs, that's more than a season of playoff games, and you win 17 of them?
It's crazy. So we got this guy. His name's Gene Battaglia. He does a show in Rochester. They carry the Bills games.
I think I've heard this a few times.
It's an Odyssey station. And they're just like us, but they're a sister station out in, Rochester, Buffalo. They're training camp every day. They're Bills all the time. I mean, they're Bills all the time. And he's coming to do his show here. He just sent an email literally today, like, hey, can I borrow the studios? Because he wants to do a show from here because he's coming in to watch the Mets. I'm taking him to the game, the Royals-Mets, which is funny because the Royals beat the Mets in 2015. And we always joke about it because I went on the show for him back in 17 when they drafted Mahomes. And my answer to him right off the bat was, thank you, Buffalo. I mean, and they're like, oh, come on, Jay. And I was like, just wait. I said, thank you, Buffalo. And they still play it for me because it's part of the deal, because until you beat us, you got to play that. And we're not your sister station, we're your daddy station at this point. So none of that. So I joke about it because we're going to watch the Royals and Mets because they just can't get over the Kansas City hump. But I just thought that was funny that, you know, with Mahomes and the Buffalo and the connection there, it's kind of funny. But you hear about all these other quarterbacks and you hear it again, you know, now it's Burrows, Allen. It's like, how can we forget about Mahomes? He did go 4-0. He has gone 4-0 against Josh Allen in the playoffs. So let's not forget that. Yeah, the regular season is one thing, but don't forget about the postseason.
Well, his greatness and the Chiefs' greatness in general has been normalized at the national level, where
it's cost a lot of legacies, to be honest with you.
Well, it really has. Other guys. If you think about it, I mean, think about all the quarterbacks that could have won championships when Tom Brady was playing, right?
Yep.
And that legacy was taken away from them. I mean, when you get to the Super Bowl, you better win it. And the Chiefs have been to 5 under Patrick Mahomes, and they've won 3 of them.
Yeah, it's getting that, you and I talked about getting that first one out of the way. It's kind of like Jack Heglione finally getting that home run. He swung out real high, but it didn't matter. He had the power. He's like, he wanted that. And then he hits another one. The floodgates are open for this dude now. Like, that's for the Chiefs. You get that first one, the floodgates open up because you believe in what you're doing and the mission. Because I'll never forget when Clark Hunt spoke to the team, Patrick's first year as a starter, and he said, you know, I expect to get to the AFC title game, the trophy named after my dad. And And this is when they won the thing in Miami and, you know, go down to Miami and win the Super Bowl. But he really wanted that trophy, you know, named after his father. And I completely understand that. But that was the MO for the team. Hey, it's go time. And he set the tempo for this team that day in St. Joe.
Oh, yeah. And we were just talking about it off air. But that's why I think winning the title in 2019 was so important, because what was Patrick 23, 24? I mean, yeah, just his second year as a starter. And when you get that Super Bowl championship, you don't have that monkey on your back anymore. Like, it's kind of all gravy from then, and we've seen what's happened in the years since. But Patrick was fortunate to avoid the hasn't won the Super Bowl yet, because that haunted Peyton Manning for years, right? Haunted Dan Marino his entire career. When Patrick got the Super Bowl in 2019, it's like, all right, so he's a champion now. What else is he going to do? And we've seen what he's done in the years since.
The Brady thing is funny to me, that the Patrick and Tom, because, well, let's not forget, Tom gets the coin toss in overtime, wins the game. Rule wasn't changed yet. Rule wasn't changed until it happened to Josh Allen in the Buffalo Bills. That gave Tom Brady an extra ring. Because I think the Chiefs, had they gone, I think that Rams team was completely different by the time he got to the Super Bowl, because they didn't score hardly at all against the Patriots in that Super Bowl. And I think that game was so exciting the first time they played. So that would have taken one away from Tom. And maybe Patrick gets another one, who knows, when they went head-to-head in the Super Bowl. I mean, there's so many games in between where they both could be sitting there literally with like five rings each. I mean, it's that close, that final line. And I know it looks different now with 7-3, but they're and then the Seahawks, that instead of handing the ball off to Marshawn Lynch, they throw the football. That gave Tom Brady another ring. Yeah. I'm just saying, it could be very, very close.
Well, that's why I think football is the greatest game in the world. You know, I love the NBA Finals. I love baseball. I love hockey. But those are series. And if you have an off night, like the Thunder did last night,
can't have an off night.
You can go back and play again. In football, it's one game. One game, your whole season comes down to one game every week in the playoffs. And for the Chiefs, more often than not, like you said, 17-4 under Patrick Mahomes, they've taken care of business in that one game. That's why, like, Super Bowl 59 was a huge bummer, obviously. I mean, I was devastated. But in retrospect, I just felt grateful. Like, man, we've been in so many of these opportunities, and we've taken care of business the majority of the time. The reason it's so awesome when you win is because it really stinks when you lose. And in football, it's magnified more because you're only playing one game. You don't get a tomorrow in the playoffs if you lose. So for the Chiefs to take care of business like they had most years under Patrick Mahomes is why I have so much confidence in this team moving forward. And it's what makes this run so special, that you think about, sorry, Drew, but the 2022 AFC Championship game.
Sorry, you don't have to apologize, Drew. You can just say whatever you want to Drew.
I think that game was a serious cry.
You want to punch him?
I like
you
him. Punch him. He's a great guy. He's not wearing his Burrow jersey today.
That's right.
But the 22 Championship game, that was a crossroads moment, in my opinion, and the legacy of this Chiefs team. Because at that point, you're coming off a Super Bowl that you had lost. You're coming off an AFC Championship game that you lost. And if you lose that game again to the Bengals, that starts to be like a trend. Well, instead, you win that game, you get back to the Super Bowl, and you go to the Super Bowl 3 years in a row, and you win two of them. So, yeah, that's why football is the best. It all comes down to four quarters and sometimes overtime.
And you have to do it in the draft that we talked about. You have to do it because you have to get seventh-round picks that, like Pacheco and Jalen Watson and Nazi Johnson, that contributes to your team. Yeah. That year, you have to do it. You can't pay everybody anything they want, because the Chiefs, they're going to have four of the highest-paid players in the NFL once Trey Smith probably signs at some point. So you can't pay everybody. You have to do it to the draft. That's why you and I talked about it. You feeling better now? Because I know people are kind of down after the Super Bowl, and it's like, just wait till things amp up, and then you'll forget about the game. You'll wash it out. And I know the players, you know, they want to get back there, man, and that's the good news. But, you know, I think as fans, you feel like, yeah, you know, but you're still AFC champions. Let's not forget that. Buffalo didn't go. Cincinnati didn't go. The Ravens didn't go. It was the Chiefs that represented the AFC, and I think that kind of gets lost in things, you know, for people. But it takes a while, and then the draft, and, you know, you start looking forward to the next season. But, you know, that lull in between there, but you want to get back at it and go, which they will on the 21st.
Yeah, you know, I had the same feeling after we lost in 2021, where instead of, like, for me, because I'm a Chiefs fan at my core, I'm not just an employee, I'm a fan of the team. I'm not just going to mope there and think about what could have been. I'm like, all right, well, what does the team have to do to get back to the Super Bowl and to win it, right? And I had the same feeling after Super Bowl 59, where it's like, that was a bummer. A couple weeks passed, and it's like, all right, let's start digging into the draft.
But you still went.
Oh, you still win. You still won the AFC 3 years in a row. But in my mind, after you lose, how do you get better? How do you get over that hump? How can you get back to that game and win it next year? And we're so fortunate that we have a front office and a coaching staff that's all they think about. And the players, I'll tell you, I mean, throughout the offseason training program, which just wrapped up earlier this week, there's a certain motivation there that they're obviously always motivated every single year. But when you lose the Super Bowl and you get that close, all you want to do is get back after it. And I've sensed that throughout the offseason training program, that they're fired up, they're ready. I mean, some of these OTA practices, and mind you, like, there's no pads, there's no like contact going on, but you can still do offensive versus defensive football. And the way the players have been attacking it mentally feels like training camp. And that's pretty cool, I think.
I want to ask you about that. They're starting July 21st, but it looks a little bit different because the rookies that usually show up 2 or 3 days before the actual veteran players do, but everybody's showing up at the same time on the 21st, kind of a departure of the norm. But Andy Reid actually addressed that answer yesterday in his press conference.
We don't have a ton of guys that we could bring there, so I didn't feel like that was a valuable time. We got the rookies here with extra time, so we took advantage of that and done that throughout the whole offseason program. So I thought we got accomplished what we needed to.
So I was going to ask you, you don't need to, because Andy Reid just said, because usually the rookies and the quarterbacks do show up first, but he said why they're not doing it. Now, there is going to be a ton of games. Like 24 teams are involved in scrimmages against each other. Like, the Chiefs don't do that. I've had my thoughts on that in the past. I was like, if you're already the best of the best going against each other, does it really behoove you to play against somebody else? If you're playing against this defense, which has been incredible, and this offense, which you got Mahomes over there. So the defense is seeing that, and the Chiefs are seeing Spags' defense. I mean, it sounds arrogant in a way, but they are seeing the best of the best. They don't actually need that kind of practice.
Yeah, I'm with you. And this is just my opinion. I have not talked to the coaches about this, but I personally don't see the value in showing a potential opponent anything. I mean, that's the thing, is like, an OTA is a mini camp. They're not just doing sprints and conditioning. They're installing real plays and schemes. Like, they have actual days in OTAs in May and in June that are dedicated to divisional opponents, where they're going off of cards and saying, hey, against the Broncos, here's what we want to be able to accomplish. They're doing that in May and June. I don't know why you'd want to show a potential opponent anything in a practice setting. And it also creates the opportunities for injuries, because these players don't know you. They don't really care about your health. So me personally, I'm always relieved when we don't have any joint practices.
Well, I remember going up to Minnesota back in the days in River Falls, and they came over from Mankato, the Vikings. So that part was cool, seeing Randy Moss going against the Chiefs corners at that point. But yeah, they get in fights and everything. There's always a fight up there every time, Chiefs and somebody else.
It's another team, you know,
and it's another team.
You're competing against
them. Hot, and you're ready to show it against somebody else.
I'm okay with
typically what happens.
Yeah,
exactly. So what did you find out from these OTAs and then the camp? Because I'm watching it and I'm thinking about things. I'm thinking, all right, here's Travis Kelce that was in France, and then all of a sudden he's at mandatory minicamp. That just shows the dedication level of getting back here and doing that. I mean, you appreciate stuff like that when you see it. Like, man, this team's ready to go, man. When that happens, when he's in France and at Arrowhead Drive the next day, huge. Trey Smith could have done what a lot of guys do. He's got his franchise tag, you know. Yeah, I don't need to do me in the court. But he was there. Like, Trey Smith was there. It just shows you kind of the dedication level for the Chiefs and how serious they take this before they take their time off here for a month.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And, you know, a lot of the last several weeks is voluntary. Like, no one actually has to be there. The coaches can't mandate that they're there. But we had, like, incredible attendance. You have guys like Chris Jones that – I think a player like Chris or a player like Patrick Mahomes, they could totally show up in training camp and be ready to go, right? I mean, those are future Pro Football Hall of Famers, but they're there at voluntary practices. So that says a lot about the mindset of this team right now. One of my main takeaways, though, is that Rashi Rice and Josh Simmons were doing team stuff, and Coach Reid said they're ready to go for training camp.
That part's pretty big, because I know, because Rice was on his way to – I mean, he was already the premier receiver in the NFL. In my opinion, the way he started off the season, it was incredible.
He had like 300 receiving yards, 3 touchdowns, like 30 catches in 3 games. I mean, he was having a monster year, and that was without Hollywood
Brown. Oh, and Jared Wiley, too. It sounds like he's ready to go, too.
Yeah, sounds like Jared Wiley's doing well. So those were some question marks that maybe in, particularly around draft night, it's like, hey, are we going to have Rashi and Josh Simmons and Jared Wiley? Like, will they start training camp on the PUP list? It sounds like they're all ready to go, which is fantastic news. And with that in mind, we finally, hopefully, are going to see Rashi, Hollywood, and Xavier Worthy on the field together.
See the whole crew together!
No one has talked about this, but when the Chiefs' offense gets criticized from last year, it's never brought up how Hollywood Brown was supposed to be a pretty vital component of the whole thing. And
it was a
hurt.
1 year deal too, because you know Brett Veach even spoke about, hey, we got him for a year and stuff like this before the draft kind of deal, and they get him for two.
He's going to have a big year, hopefully, and then hit the market again. Well, he got hurt on the first play of the preseason, so you don't have him.
You weren't even in the pool yet.
I wasn't in the pool yet. No, I was looking up at the pool saying, how is this going to work? But anyway, Rashid then gets hurt in week four. I don't think people realize how the offense had to completely change. You already don't have Isaiah Pacheco either. He got hurt in week two. So Xavier Worthy had to step up and be the guy. And to his credit, from about week eight on, he was one of the best receivers in the NFL. It's ironic because I think that experience is going to benefit him now. But if people can stay healthy, fingers crossed, you're going to have Rashee Rice, who's off to a monster season last year before he got hurt. Hollywood Brown, we know what he can do. And then Xavier Worthy with now a second year in the system, and Travis Kelce. Yeah. So, and Isaiah Pacheco and the other pieces they've added. Jalen Royals has impressed me in camp as well.
Has he?
So,
is that impressed you in camp?
Oh, yeah. No. So he and Juju Smith-Schuster. I was about to compare him to Juju Smith-Schuster, and we also have Juju Smith-Schuster, who had a great mini camp, by the way. So this offense, if people can stay healthy, fingers crossed, I feel really good about. I'm very excited about them and what they can do here in 2025.
Well, you already heard about, you know, Tomba. Chiefs legend Tomba working with Karloftis as far as, you know, jiu-jitsu and
another
everything
player
else.
Who looked great is Karloftis.
And then Gelati, obviously, that's probably going to happen too with Tom. I don't know if he's got a background in UFC, kind of with his brother and everything else, Gelati. But with that, and then to hear that Simmons, because Andy Reid's an old offensive line coach, so clearly he talks to him a lot because it's how he cut his teeth. But then when I heard like Mitch Schwartz, you know, has been involved in it too for development. So that stuff's huge.
Oh, it's really cool. And, you know, we were talking about this off air. It's in the context of all the old Pacers players that have been at the Pacers finals games lately. Like, I thought it was so cool last night seeing all these former Pacers players who maybe couldn't get it done or a part of
teams. No, they didn't get it done at all, Drew.
You know, but they're there still supporting the Pacers.
Yeah.
For former Chiefs to still be a part of all this, and of course, Mitchell Schwartz got it done with the Chiefs in 2019, but to still be a part of it, to want to be a part of it, and to have the coaches say, hey, what do you think about this? Can you come out, talk to one of our players? It's why the Chiefs are such a family, which is unique in pro sports. It sounds super cliche, but you just don't find this kind of environment.
It's the reason why they went to three straight, and it's the reason why the Panthers went to three straight Stanley Cups. I mean,
yeah,
it is
culture.
It is a culture.
Yeah, and it extends beyond when you retire or when you leave this team. Like, I think it's so cool when we have former players out here. Like Alex Smith being out at practice the other day. I mean, I just think that's awesome because it shows, like, hey, we remember you and what you contributed here, and you're still part of this even if you're not putting on a Chiefs uniform every day.
Great stuff. Matt McMillan from the Kansas City Chiefs. We have the Chiefs draft half hour next, so that's perfect.
Let's do it.
Hour to have Matt in here with us. We'll discuss that. And there's another receiver I wanted to bring up that Andy Reid was actually asked about yesterday. We'll talk about that stuff next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're listening to 96.5 The Fan from the Mission Plumbing Heating and Cooling Studios. Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
That's right, the Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Great time to go be sitting out on one of those decks as well this type of year. It's actually summertime now, even though it's felt like it before. It's actually summertime. Matt McMullen of the Kansas City Chiefs sitting in studio with us here for this hour. Perfect guest for the Chiefs Red Half Hour, to be honest with you. But another guy I was going to bring up was, I know everybody's got camp guys. There's always a camp guy. And this is one I think is going to be this year's camp guy. Tyquan Thornton. Andy Reid, what about Tyquan Thornton?
I like Tyquan. I like the way he's approached things. He's got the quarterback's trust, which is, that's a positive thing. He got valuable reps in here. The other guys can see that he's a talented guy. So far, so good. Again, I'd like to see him in a game situation, how he handles it. I would anticipate he would do a nice job. But I want to see where we're at with that.
Tyquan Thornton's interesting deal. It was a second-round pick. Picked in the second round for a reason with the Patriots. Didn't work out. There were some injuries and anything that happened. But I will say this. At the combine, he actually ran a 4.21, which is what Xavier Worthy ran. And so it looked like that was going to be it. It was an unofficial time, but it was timed at the combine. They waited, looked at film, did everything else, and they decided to give him the oh-so-slow 4.28, which is that. But it, for a second, looked like he was going to have the record regardless. 4.28 is beyond fast. You know why he's a second rounder. But he is 6'2 as well. He's big in stature as well. And Mahomes had mentioned Tyquan, you know, getting familiar with it and stuff like that. I'm not saying, listen, it's Worthy, it's Rice, we know that, it's Hollywood Brown, it's Jalen Royals, Juju, whatever. But can Tyquan be there? Because they'll keep 6 to 7 receivers, maybe 7 receivers. Can he make this team? He's definitely got the speed to be part of this team for sure. But what have you seen from Tyquan? Because this guy's looking to make his men's in the NFL.
You know, he's been impressive. He stood out really almost every day that we were allowed to watch OTAs or minicamp. A lot of stuff, as you would imagine, deep down the field. He can track the football, which is an underrated quality in the NFL. The 4.28 catches your attention, but beyond that, he can track the ball in the air and made a bunch of standout plays really throughout the offseason training program. But like you said, it is mid-June, and I think, like Coach Reid said, the next step for him is, can you do it with the pads on, and can you do it in a game situation? So I'd say for Tyquan, so far so good. He's only 24 years old. It's funny when these guys get drafted and go somewhere for a while.
And then second round pick.
Yeah, I mean, in 2022. So not too long ago, he was considered one of the top receivers in the draft for a reason. Didn't really work out in New England, but they haven't had a great quarterback situation for years. So,
and that was still Belichick regime too. So
yeah, not really chucking the ball deep. I think he has a real chance. Now, for him, like I said, he has to attack training camp. He has to show what he can do and keep this up with pads on and do it in the preseason as well. But right now, he would be at the top of my list of guys to kind of watch in that bubble that I think has a real shot.
The bubble at the end, because it's real tough in the front of this. And Xavier Worthy, guy I was going to ask you about. It's a guy that, you know, last year it looked like, you know, it was a perfect situation. You know, first round pick, you don't have to come in and be the, even though you're a first round pick, the end all be all answer for everything, because you had Hollywood there, you had Rashee Rice there and everything. It's like, you know, not as much pressure on you as a first round pick. But then Hollywood goes down in the preseason against Jacksonville. Rashee Rice gets hurt in the Chargers game early in the season. All of a sudden, rookie's asked to be the dude. And towards the end of this, well, he was always good for this team, but towards the end of the season, the postseason, I mean, it's crazy how good he became. But yeah, year two, Xavier Worthy, what are you expecting?
Well, yeah, from week eight on, which I think was the Buffalo game, he was one of the best receivers in the NFL, inconsistent. So I think with Xavier, one of the misconceptions about him coming out was he's just go route speed guy because he runs the 4-2-1.
Which is funny from a guy that was that led Texas in not only yards, but receptions for three straight years.
Exactly.
And he beat him in two of the 3 years. He was tops in touchdowns. Once he was second. So he does more than just a go route.
Yeah. He was consistent. He could run the full route tree. He was durable and tough. And we saw that particularly the latter half of last season. I mean, how good was he the second half of last season in the postseason against Buffalo in the AFC Championship game? And even though it was in the Eagles game when the game was over, made some incredible plays that I hope we see some more of that here this year deep down the field. I'm expecting a lot out of him. Now, it's interesting because he had to play a lot last year with Rashee and with Hollywood not in there. I don't know how much his numbers will fluctuate or his snap counts, but I think he's going to have an impact on the game. I think he's going to have a chance to make more splash plays downfield because you're going to have to respect his speed. But also, I think he can make an impact on special teams because he was an incredible punt returner at Texas. He didn't really do that much last year for us because he was playing offense exclusively because he had to, but Coach Tobes calling him the best punt returner in the league, no one's talking about. So if you have Rashee, you have
and they
Hollywood,
drafted with that in mind too, because a lot of these guys are good punt returners.
Yeah, and with the return game, you can change the game, right? You can flip the field. Any way you can help get Patrick Mahomes 10 more yards, 20 more yards, or even score a touchdown, you know, that's going to help. So I think if the offense can stay healthy and if the other receivers that weren't here last year because of injury can contribute this year and stay healthy, you're going to have a chance to maybe not have to have Xavier in there on however many offensive plays. He can return punts too and change the game that way as well.
It's just going to be interesting seeing all these guys that, you know, you look at as one or twos. I mean, you know, Hollywood Brown, Rashee Rice, and Rashee Rice does a lot of things. I don't think people realize that he runs a lot of the Kelsey stuff too. I mean, he, even being a wide receiver, he runs a lot of different stuff. And then you add Jalen Royals into the equation, and I think people are really going to like this kid. I think they're really going to like Jalen.
So I mentioned it earlier, he reminds me a lot of Juju. So he's strong and physical. He has like a thick build to him. A ton of big plays at Utah State. And he's fast, don't get me wrong. But he doesn't have like the Xavier Worthy, Tyquan Thornton 40 time. What he has is the ability to make people miss and to break tackles. He's physical after the catch. And that's going to work perfectly in Coach Reed's offense, where if you think about the different receiver profiles that we have, you have guys like Hollywood and Xavier who can just burn down the field. They can open up that third half of the field, hopefully, this year.
They can really put pressure on defense with all the speed.
100%. And what does that do? It opens up the middle shallow area of the field where Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Jalen Royals can catch a 5-yard pass and hopefully make a guy miss and turn it into a 20-yard gain. So I think I really like the profiles that we have at receiver this year, where again, if they can stay healthy, you can attack the defense in a bunch of different ways.
Yeah, because if they stay healthy, it's like St. Joe last year. It was, you know, all the clips that people see.
How much fun was that? It was so much fun.
They see the touchdowns, the bombs and stuff. And then to Andy Reid's credit, which I think kind of goes under talked about, how he essentially had to flip what he thought in St. Joe, because when all of a sudden everybody's hurt, it kind of changes your game plan and how you can attack people, because what you saw in St. Joe was not the Chiefs that were in the season, because they just didn't have anybody.
Well, you asked me about the AFC Championship ring earlier and what it meant to me. You know, when I look at that ring, I think about that and how Coach Reed adapted and adjusted, because you're so right. Like what we were talking about, like all the storylines from last summer and in training camp kind of flipped when Rashee got hurt, because Rashee in many ways was going to be kind of like the center point of the offense. And we saw that through the first 3 weeks of the season when he was getting all these targets and catches and yards, he was going to be the guy. and then everything would kind of play off of him. Well, when he gets hurt, Hollywood was already hurt. You've lost Pacheco already. How do you adjust? And this is why I think Coach Reed is the greatest coach of all time, because no problem. You still find a way to win 15 games and get to the Super Bowl despite missing all the players that you were counting on. If you look at the players that led the Chiefs in yards, scrimmage yards, rushing yards, receiving yards last year, for the most part, it's players that were not with the team in training camp. It's Samaje Perine. It's DeAndre Hopkins. It's Juju Smith-Schuster. Kareem Hunt. Players that were either on the couch or on another team, and they came in here, bought in, and Coach Reed found a way to make it work. Well, the benefit this year is hopefully we're going to have the team that we think we have right now, and I think that team's pretty good.
It's why Andy Reid sits only behind Belichick in lifetime postseason wins. Oh, but three behind him now? That's it, three games behind Belichick?
Right.
I think it's three postseason wins. I mean, he's on the cusp of being no one has more postseason wins than him. That's insane.
It's unbelievable, and he deserves so much credit for that. Again, I think he's the greatest coach to ever do it.
Especially when you look at the team and how everything had to flip. Like, he had to change his philosophy and everything. Just the whole staff did.
And that's why I think he's so incredible. So, obviously, Belichick is one of the greatest to ever do it, if not the greatest to ever do it. But Belichick did it with kind of the same system for a long time. You had Tom Brady. You had an excellent defense. That's what you did. With Coach Reed, he has won with so many different players and in so many different ways. And something that I think I've mentioned to you before that I think is so funny is back in Coach Reed's 1999 Philadelphia offense, I went back and looked this up. I think they ran like two snaps out of the shotgun offensively or something like that. And then now with the Chiefs, it's like it got to be 60 to 70% of the snaps are out of the shotgun. So he doesn't have just one offensive system where he's like, hey, this works, let's do this. He adapts to his players. He adapts to the times. He tries to stay ahead. And his ability to adapt through over 20 years of coaching is what makes him so great.
And he brought in the Chris Holt, I think, the originated kind of the pistol offense out in at least Division I level out at Nevada. Brought him in as a consultant or something for Alex Smith. Like, this would be perfect offense for Alex Smith. So Chris Holt came in here. Again, look at the college game, because I've heard he does that a lot. Looks at the college game, what's working for these guys. Why wouldn't you want them to feel familiar with what they did? It's like Sam Bradford when he came in the league. People were wondering, like, how he's going to – is the league ready for him? Because he took all these shotgun snaps and stuff at Oklahoma. Is he going to work in under the center in the National Football League? And, you know, it took – but the game has changed. Like, the game has changed to that college-style game. Like Louisiana Tech, when they first started doing the crazy stuff, and, you know, run four and five wide receivers because they had to compete against Nebraska's of the world. Now everybody does it. High schools do it. Everybody. And then the NFL's doing it like crazy.
Yeah.
The game has changed.
Again, Coach Reed, instead of, like, use Patrick Mahomes as an example too. Instead of saying, hey, you're really talented, but I'm going to fit you into this mold of what a professional quarterback looks like. He says, okay, this is what you're really good at. How can we take what you're really good at and apply it to the professional level and maximize it? I mean, it's like anything else. It seems so obvious. Like, why did it take so long for people to figure this out? But why did we look at Sam Bradford and say, ooh, can he be a pro-style quarterback? And not say, hey, he's really good at Oklahoma because he does this. Why don't we try to figure this out? You know, and Coach Reed is one of the people that led the way in kind of changing how we look at football, I think.
Because I remember the Washington tried to do a little bit with RG3.
Yeah.
Like, how'd you win this Heisman? Or what would we do? And so they ran a lot of the same plays like he was running at Baylor. It's like, why wouldn't you do something they're familiar with? And I bring it all the time with Mahomes, like, to prepare for Texas Tech. Gary Patterson was at TCU, actually admitted to watching the Chiefs to get ready for Texas Tech because he could see a lot of the same type of similar plays that Mahomes would run, very similar to Texas Tech, so actually watched the Chiefs prepare for a college game.
Well, and Coach Reed's also watching, like, the 1948 Rose Bowl. Yeah. So it's not just the new stuff. It's also like, hey, what can we take from 100 years ago and apply it to a Super Bowl, right?
Well, there's a couple other things, too. Obviously, Kelce coming back, and, you know, the news was he's lost 25 pounds or something. And he even admitted himself. He said, well, I'm not sure it was quite that much. But he has, just watching him, I mean, the dude has lost some weight. Not that it matters, because as Andy said, he's been great heavier. He's been great less than heavy. He's somewhere in between probably, but he's been good. But he's got a streak. He's got seven seasons of 90-plus catches that are all in a row. He gets 90 this year. He and Larry Fitzgerald, because Larry Fitzgerald's got eight. But they're not all together, not all in one line. But Larry Fitzgerald's the only receiver, only pass catcher in NFL history to have at least 90 catches in eight seasons. Kelce can match that, so it's only Fitzgerald and Kelce if he gets to 90.
So the whole Kelce situation is a good example of how, like,
but she had 97 last year, so it's not crazy.
Well, that's what I'm going to mention is, like, so on a national level, if you're talking about every team, somehow this, like, narrative was created that Kelce, like, really fell off. If you look at his numbers, he had 97 catches for over 800 yards last year. I mean, I understand it wasn't like a 2022 season where he's putting up 1,300 or 1,400 yards. But in a year where you had a lot of your best players get hurt and he's getting a lot of attention, he still was the leading receiver on a team that won 15 games and went to the Super Bowl. So now you have that player and his leadership. He's motivated because people are talking this way about him. And you add these other guys in that we were supposed to have last year. I mean, again, I keep kind of saying this over and over, but I just think the Chiefs offense and what it can be is not getting enough attention because they didn't go out and sign like a new free agent. But this offense essentially is it. Is
and I reminded people of that teams that do it, the top spending teams, the Panthers were the top spending team in free agency last year. Look at their record.
But for the Chiefs, it's kind of like they went out and signed Hollywood Brown and signed Rashi Rice in free agency this year. And also those guys already know the system. That's one thing Patrick talked about is this is the first year in a while where he's not having to train a whole bunch of new receivers because these guys, even though they got hurt last year, they know the system. They've been around. So Hollywood and Rashi and Juju and Xavier, they all kind of know what to expect. They know beyond just the playbook, they know what Patrick is thinking in a moment or what does he want in this kind of situation. That kind of stuff is invaluable. And yeah. Over the years, he's had to, you know, we had the year where MVS and Juju were new or had the year where Xavier was coming in and Hollywood was new. I mean, it's a big deal to have that familiarity.
And they tried to learn the camp pat, but you can only go when you go to the
only
end
do
of Texas,
so much. You know?
Only do so much. Mahomes was asked about that too. I'm glad you brought that up. He's asked about, you know, having the same core back. You don't have to explain that. Andy Reid was asked that same question, having the same group of receivers back. I thought this was interesting.
Yeah, you're not going. I mean, we're teaching everything. Getting out of the huddle, the snap count. That's where we started with some of these guys last year. So, yeah, no, it allows you to jump start, line up in all these crazy formations. So you had to kind of back up on some of that stuff. And it's things that you, as the season went on, we were able to expand a little bit and then hit it running here.
See, it's interesting. So the season progressed, you're able to do some of the crazy formations, whatever. But you can start off with that because they know the lingo, they know the language, they know the style of play that they do, but that is an advantage having that same group back this year.
Absolutely. And you can hit training camp running. I mean, last year for Xavier, for example, it happens for every rookie, but all of the spring they are preparing and training to get drafted. Well, now he's been training and preparing to be a receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs all off season after what he did, of course, last year. So it's a huge benefit to have all these guys back. And when your major contributors are all guys that know the offense, they know the little nuances of what Patrick Mahomes and Coach Reid expect, the result is going to be good. So for me, for this Chiefs offense, it's health. Can the team stay healthy? And if they can, I fully expect it to be one of the best offenses in the NFL.
I thought it was interesting, too. Pat talked about this the other day. He didn't know if it was name, image, and likeness or the way that things in college go. He was like, because he was asked about the new guys coming in, what stood out. He's like, there's like a matureness, there's a maturity within all of them that they feel more ready for the NFL than previous just because of them being in college longer. And I know Brett Veach even talked about that when he was doing his, I think the pre-draft presser at the Combine, was name, image, and likeness is changing how they evaluate guys, whether it's from a maturity standpoint or a rep standpoint, how long they've been a starter. Age is changing and how, like, you want a guy that's younger, obviously, but they also might be more raw, where if you get a guy that's 2 years older, he could be ready day one, doesn't take as long to learn the playbook or anything like that, where you look at somebody like Josh Simmons, who's been there, done that, transferred, really good player. Jalen Royals has been in college for all 4 years that he had. Like, he used up his eligibility. Young player, or a player that's talented, but also as the reps where he's not expected to come in and do too much because the wide receiver core you just mentioned, Matt, but also it's not like it's going to take him longer to understand the ins and outs of things because he's a guy that's been there and done it for more than just 1 year or 2 years in college.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And, you know, one thing Mitch and I have talked about is the 2022 class was transformative for so many reasons. I mean, we've laid it out, all the different players, not just early in the draft, but on day three that have contributed.
Right that year.
I mean, it was incredible. I'm hesitant to say this because they have to go out there and play, but at least in terms of vibes, you know, and just my impression of these guys, I think a 2025 class has a chance to do that sort of thing. Just from the first round all the way to the seventh round, I think we got players that have the right mindset, they have the right attitude, they're really talented, and my hope is that these guys can help us right away on day one, but also years from now, like we're doing with the 2022 class, they can be the guys that are setting the tone for OTAs. And Drew, I think you're 100% right, and I agree with what Patrick said, that it doesn't always happen this way where you get a bunch of super mature players who are ready to come in and be professionals. A lot of times with college players, they've been the best their whole life, and they kind of, it's a shock when everyone else is as good as they are. But this class, there's something about them that when I'm around them, they just kind of seem like they know how to fit in and get going.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, the draft class this year. Obviously, we talked about Simmons a lot in Royals, but what about Rashard Smith?
Yeah. You know,
here's a guy that was a wide receiver at Miami, played running back, outstanding running back play at SMU. Not as much wear and tear as normal running backs have because he did play wide receiver at Miami, but it's a guy that can catch the ball in the backfield. I'm sure that's going to be loved around Arrowhead. But what about him and Bosa? I've heard a lot of good things about the linebacker out of Oregon.
Yeah, well, Bosa is like a natural leader. I mean, it's clear and obvious. Like, he kind of seems like he's a veteran already. I'm really excited to see him with the pads on and what he can do. Rashard Smith, though, is fun because the whole, like, design of OTA and minicamp practices is created for players like him to really showcase their talents, because you're not wearing pads, there's no live hitting. It's difficult to evaluate the linemen in these kind of camps because you're not wearing pads, but it's essentially a passing camp. And for a player like him, he can really show what he can do. And he had one, I think it was the third week of OTAs, where one of the first plays of practice, Mahomes hit him on like a deep wheel route down the sideline. And I just think he's going to add like a little bit of juice to that backfield where
he'd be pretty good in the wheel route being a former receiver.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can tell he's a former receiver by how he tracks the football. It doesn't look like it's foreign to him. And this is an unfair comparison because it's kind of apples to oranges and Jarek's a very accomplished player, but he kind of reminds me of like what Jerick McKinnon can do in terms of catching the ball out of the backfield. Now, can he pass protect? That's the question.
That's one thing about Jet that I think people sleep on, how good
he's
he was
incredible.
At blocking.
Incredible.
He spent almost half the year at the beginning blocking, and then he'd just take off and get it on the touchdown streak at the end. But that's what he did at the beginning, was block.
Yeah, and I think that will be the challenge for Rashard in training camp, is pass protection with the pads on against a linebacker charging at you.
Because Samaje is now back with the Bengals, and that was...
He was great at it.
I really liked when he was with the Chiefs.
Well, there was that game against the Chargers, the one that locked up the division. The game-winning drive, it's easy to forget about this, but before the Chiefs even crossed the 50, Derwin James was crashing down on Mahomes on third down, I think, and the only thing between James and Mahomes was Samaje Perine, and guess who won the rep? Samaje Perine. So, yeah, I mean, Samaje was great at what he did. So for Rashard, if he wants to kind of fill that third down role, he'll have to pass protect, but at least so far with what I've seen in terms of catching the ball out of the backfield and tracking the ball like a receiver and being that kind of weapon who can add some juice to this backfield, so far so good with him.
How's my dude Noel Williams doing?
So Noel Williams has been good. So coming out of Cal, ball skills, right? That was the big thing.
Led the nation interceptions.
Yeah, and I've seen that. So during minicamp, he had an interception, jumped a route, looked really athletic, happened during OTAs.
He's very
as
good
well.
Against the run, his coach said, too.
Which is important.
Don't sleep on that.
Which you don't see a whole lot of that during this time of year because, again, no pads. Yeah. There's no real running going on. But that takes buy-in. It's not – a lot of times in the NFL, you don't see corners who want to tackle.
Yeah, because we had his coach on during the draft, and he's like, no, this dude will come out and hit you.
That's like a prerequisite for Steve Spagnuolo's defense. Like, a lot of guys can do it. They just choose not to. Noel Williams wants to tackle. He was one of the best tackling corners in the entire draft. So that will – play a factor, but his ball skills, I think,
I can
are
see him
exciting.
On a blitz too.
Oh, 100%. Yeah,
Spag's gonna like him.
I think the secondary has a chance to be really, really good, like it's been in years past. You had Christian Fulton as well from the Chargers, who can play outside. Sprinkle Noel Williams in there. You can play Trent McDuffie all over the place, and you can put him in the slot whenever you want to, and he can be the best slot corner in the NFL and come on blitzes like he did against Brock Purdy in the Super Bowl. I'm excited about Noel. We'll see how he does with the pads on, just like everybody else, but the ball skills, at least so far, have translated.
Final question for you. Do you have anything fun planned until the 21st?
Yeah. So, and my wife and I are going to do a road trip to the Grand Tetons.
Yeah. You've been everywhere.
So I'm fortunate.
I'm looking forward to the pictures.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm fortunate that my wife is very good about knowing that from July through February, I am like out of commission. So she is great about planning trips and saying, hey, we're going to go to the Grand Tetons for a week. And I'm like, that sounds great.
Because Chiefs go to February.
Yeah, because I'm going to be really busy for about 8 months. So she does a great job of planning some trips for us. And it'll be fun. We're going to road trip out there.
Nice.
Her parents are in Denver, so we'll stop in Denver halfway and say hi to them. And yeah, go up to Yellowstone as well and take some photos. I'll have my Chiefs flag and take a picture in front of something cool.
Where's any comments from you, Drew? Are you going to get Trey Hendrickson back, or would you give any comments for Matt or anything?
No, I mean, sure. I think the hour's been very good, and obviously, you know,
T. Higgins is back. Jamar Chase. That's where that question came from.
Listen, there's nothing that I'm not going to say anything about my favorite team because it's not that half hour, and because we've got Madden.
Not.
You know, I'm going to be respectful of the team that he works for and the team that we cover every day.
Listen, he collects rings.
I love the rivalry. All right, I love the rivalry. Those two Bengals games. They're intense, and I think we can all agree on that.
Yes.
No, 100%. Hey, man, always enjoy talking to you. Love the draft stuff with you and seeing these guys out there doing their thing out at minicamp and stuff. And now it's done, man.
Yeah.
Now it's done until they go to St. Joe and you have the news going out there and showing all the equipment go to St. Joe, because they will.
Yeah, and, you know, we've been waiting for months. We've been talking about, like you said, the draft, and it's fun watching OTAs and seeing this team come together, but what you and I love is training camp, and we can go out there and see how this team is really going to look, and hopefully I'll be back here after the pads are on, and I can give you some updated thoughts.
Except the Rams went to Hawaii for minicamp.
Yeah.
You get that either, which I think minicamps are going that direction, to be honest with you. We'll see what happens.
Things are a-changing, you know?
Things are a-changing. Anyway, thanks a million, man. I know, coming in, talking about mini camps and everything and this team. I mean, could talk to you for hours, my friend.
No, it's a blast. I love talking with you guys. And Chiefs football, here we go. It's almost that time again.
It's that time again, and they're always going to be in the news because every month, like I said, the NFL is every month. We're in June talking about them still because they just got done mini camp. Then boom, July, you got training camp. Then August, preseason. And then September on, you have regular season. Again, the NFL captivates us all 12 months of the season. Thanks a ton, Matt. Much appreciated.
As always, Jay.
What's trending and other fun stuff coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out.
Every home run.
Gone.
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.